How many know that honor is good for you? Hallelujah. Honor. Being able to honor one another. The Bible tells us to honor one another. Is that right? Hallelujah. Do you know that's good for you? Hallelujah. Because it's a command. Anytime God says to do something, if you do it, you know what? It's really good for you. God looks well upon those kind of actions. Is that right? He said, love those around you, man. Is that right? How many of you know the Bible says to love your enemies as yourself? Is that right? Does it really say that? Really? Do we do that? Come on, man. You know that, you know, without God, it's impossible to do that. Absolutely impossible. That's why Jesus says the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. When you get that right, you got that connection with God, where you love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Guess what? This way, towards your enemies, toward those that are mean to you, it gets easy. Because you're not operating in your love, you're operating in His love. And I'm going to tell you something, He does love your enemies. He does love those that say stuff bad about you. Amen? He does love them. And He wants to be able to touch them through you. Isn't that cool? And you say, oh man, not me. Let them go to hell. No, I'm saying, come on. Shh, be quiet. Hey, God wants to touch the lost. Is that crazy? And He'll use us. How do you know God's invisible? Is that right? Is God invisible? Yeah, God's invisible. I mean, He's in this room right now. How many see Him? I mean, just actually seeing Him. You just can't see Him. And He uses words. Words, folks. It's words that attract people and bring people to Him. When you begin to speak words to folks, it will draw them to God. Hallelujah. When you speak nice to folks, it will draw them towards God. How many know that? Hallelujah. Just be nice. I said that last week, didn't I? Oh, man. Better get them. Reverting. We don't want to do that. We don't go forward. I mean, everybody said, go forward, Pastor Henry. Go forward. Don't go backwards. We want to hear last week's sermon. We want to hear today. Come on. Hallelujah. So if you will, turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 35. How many of you guys like the prophets? I love the prophets. Jeremiah 35. Glory to God. Title of the sermon is called Honor by Listening. Honor by Listening. Hallelujah. I mean, how do you like people talk? How do you like talking to somebody and they're just looking around and tying their shoe and you know, not paying much attention to you? How do you like that? Does anybody like that? Nobody likes that, huh? And you can sense it, don't you? All of a sudden, they're not listening to me. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it's important. It really is. It is an element of honor to let, when somebody's talking to you, just to sit there and say, okay, kind of focus in and let them talk to you. Amen? Amen. I had a young man, he lives across the street from me, and I went to talk to him a little bit, and we were talking, and he knows I'm a preacher, I asked him, I said, hey, what's God saying to you, brother? And he goes, man, He's convicted me right now. I said, really? Yeah. I said, well, tell me about it, man. And man, yeah, I'm not trying to get him to confess his sins to me. I'm just saying, hey, man, just tell me about it. And he goes, yeah, He's convicting me. And he starts talking. And I'm listening. And then I go to say something to him while he's talking. And he goes, hold on. Yeah. Let me finish. Anybody ever done that to you? It's kind of a weird feeling. Oh, sorry, man. And he goes, let me finish. He goes, I don't want to lose my thought. I said, okay, sounds cool. So I let him finish and we're talking. And then I start talking. And I'll say like three words and he'll say something. I'll say another three words and he'll say something else. I'll say another three words. Finally, I said, hold on, man. I had enough respect for you to stop and listen to you. Can you listen to me just for a minute? He goes, oh, I didn't even realize I was doing that. Yeah, and sometimes we don't. I mean, you know, how many guys say, yeah, sometimes we don't realize we're butting in. Sometimes we'll jump into a conversation before we let them finish out the conversation. Well, we talked a little bit, prayed for him, and said he's going to take care of what was going on. But let me just say this to you. I mean, it's important that we honor one another in listening. Is that right? Is that okay? But how many know it's important that we honor God by listening? The listening of what He's saying. listening to what he's trying to tell us. Because I'll tell you, there's not a person in the room that God is not trying to talk to you. He's talking to everybody in the room. He really is. So we're going to look at this story here in Jeremiah 35. And I want you to focus on the fact that it's honor to listen, okay? Honor to listen. So listen. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives today. Father, you say that this is the day that you have made. And Lord, we rejoice. And we are glad to be here, Father. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Speak to us in that way that you speak, Lord, and we know it and we sense it, Father. Allow us to focus on what you're saying to us this morning. Touch us, enlighten us, strengthen us, Father, by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 35 says this, and the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chambers of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdalah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink ye wine. Isn't that cool? God told them, hey, give these guys some wine. Has God ever told somebody to give you wine? No, man. Hey. And he says, hey, give these guys some wine. So I take them all in there, and he sets a big pot before them, puts some cups there, and he tells them, go ahead, have some wine, drink some wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, neither you nor your sons forever. Neither shall you build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you be strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass that when Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon came up into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem, for the fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to listen to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded to his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you listen not to me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And you shall dwell in the land which I have given you and to your fathers. But you've not inclined your ear, nor have you listened to me. Hallelujah. Seems to me that God was getting after the men of Israel about how they listen to him. How many of you know that? He said, hey, you're not listening to me. So what he does is he says, he gives them an illustrated sermon. How many like illustrated sermons? I like illustrated sermons. I like to bring guys up here and make them do weird things. And make them dance. No, I'm just kidding. But he does kind of an illustrated sermon because the Rechabites had moved into Jerusalem because at this time the Syrians and the king of Babylon was about ready to attack Jerusalem. So Jeremiah had been telling the men, hey, get ready because Jerusalem's going to be overtaken, getting himself into a lot of trouble because he was prophesying what the Lord was saying, where the other guys, the other prophets that the kings of Israel were listening to were prophesying lies to them. They were saying, nothing's going to happen. It's going to be okay. God's going to take care of us. This is God's town. Yeah, but they were doing things that weren't right. So God tells Jeremiah to go find these guys that were in Jerusalem already because they had moved into Jerusalem because they were afraid of the kings that were going to attack. So they moved into Jerusalem and he takes them into the temple and he puts on this wine for them and he tells them to go ahead and drink wine. This is the illustration that God gives, and he says, you know what? It's been a couple hundred years. It had been 200 years since Rechab had given the order for them not to drink wine. And they had listened to that order for 200 years. And God was saying, do you see how they listened to their father? It's Malachi in the first chapter, God says something like this. If I'm your father, where is my honor? He says, because it's an honor to listen to your father. Is that right? I want you to look at the scripture. It says, it's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. How many know this scripture? Hallelujah. You got it? Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. How many of you know, if you want it to go well with you, this is a good commandment. Is that right? What are you to do? If you want it to go well with you, honor your what? Mother and father. And how do you do that, basically? How is it that you basically honor your mother and your father? Pay attention. Amen? You listen to them. Is that right? How many of you know a kid that never listens? I'm going to tell you, I was one of them kids. I was one of those kids that, man, you know what? My mom was, why don't you listen to me? She would hit me with her flip-flop. Lots of pain in that, man, let me tell you. Ow, mom, ow, leave me alone, mom. Because I wouldn't listen. But the Bible says that if you want to live a long time, to honor your mother and your father. And listening to them is why God would give a commandment like that. It's because, how many of you know that your mom and your dad are your first impression of who God would be? Do you know that? Because mom and dad are going to love you like nobody else. Is that right? How many of you know that? And I might be speaking to some that maybe it was a broken family or whatever, and maybe you weren't loved like you should have been. But the picture that God wants for a family is for the mom and the dad to love their children, to build them up and bring them up. And to teach them about him. The first thing that they see and get to know about God is mom and dad. It's cool. Everybody go, whoa, oh man, that's not, I hope it's good. Hey, amen. I hope that was good. I remember Jonathan, one time we were out cleaning the yard. I was talking to some friends the other night. We were cleaning the yard and this little baby quail came up. And he must have just hatched because he thought Jonathan was his mommy. Isn't that right, John? And this little thing followed him all over. Rosie and I were telling him, go back out in the weeds and maybe he'll find his mom. He'll go out there, you know. That little tiny, it was only about that tall. It was only a baby quail would follow him out there. And then he'd go out and he'd come back out. And here he comes, that little baby quail coming to mama. Falling over, it was just kind of pitiful. It was, oh man, what do you do with this thing, man? So But the first impression that children have is mom and dad. And the Bible tells us to bring up, well, I'm going to show that to you, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't realize what God is saying in this scripture, but it makes it pretty simple that it says, fathers, don't make your children angry, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The nurture and admonition that he's talking about is what God is saying to you, Dad. What is God saying to you, Dad? What is it? I remember when Jonathan or Rebecca would get me upset, I'd just go ahead and pow, just spank him. But I'd get mad, and I was spanking him in anger. How many know that's not good? Do you guys know that God does not spank us in anger? He does not correct us in anger. He loves us. So then I made a mistake and corrected my son one evening, and I felt bad because I realized it was a mistake, that he hadn't done what I thought he had done. So I asked the Lord, I need help. How can you help me in this? And what the Lord told me was, quit spanking him in anger. Cool. So what I did was I took my son or my daughter, and every time I was angry at them, I put them in the closet. I mean, not closet, in the bathroom. Sorry. Yeah, come on. I set them in the bathroom, and I said, hey, I will be back. I mean, come on, man. They go, yeah. Oh, Dad, no, Dad. Sorry, huh? Spooky times, huh? I wouldn't do that now. You can tell. I'll be back. And I'd go before the Lord, and I'd say, what do you want me, Lord, to say to your kids? How many know that? Remember Moses when the children of Israel were doing okay? Yeah, we're the family of God. And then they get in trouble. He says, God, what do you want to do with your kids? Those are your kids. And that's what I was doing. God, what do you want me to tell your kids? And almost every time I'd go in, God would calm me down. He'd give me a word. It was an admonition to me. And that's what I'd go in and I'd give to my kids. I'd tell them what God said to me. Sometimes they did get a swat, didn't they? Sometimes it'd be, oh, just. But I learned how to talk to my kids. I didn't know. I had no dad. I didn't have a dad when I was growing up, so I had no idea how to raise kids. And, you know, how many know it can be scary raising kids? And so I had to have some help, and I only knew one place to get help. His name was Jesus. Lord, how do I do this? These are your kids. They really are the kids. So it says, don't bring up your kids, right? Don't provoke them to anger. Is that right? But learn to teach them what God is saying to you. Hallelujah. It's one thing to tell my kids, don't drink, if I'm drinking all the time. That doesn't teach anything, does it? Is that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. We teach what God is teaching us. That's what we teach. We pour it through. It's cool. And it's up to them to learn to listen. Is that right? Isn't that right? They honor you by listening. As they get older, they listen. As they get older, they're listening. You've taught them to listen to you. You've taught them how to hear what you're saying. Hey, I don't want to hear what I don't care who did it. Is that right? Moms and dads, you got more kids. It's his fault. Well, he did it first. I don't care who did it. I just want you guys to get in the bathroom. Hallelujah. It's crazy, huh? Oh, Frank. Four kids, five kids? Four, five. Come on, man. That's a busy house. Amen. Hallelujah. Learning to hear God and then teaching how to hear God. Bringing honor into your house by listening. Is that okay? We want to be listening to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 4, I'm sorry, it's chapter 6, verses 4 and 7. 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, O Lord, Our God is one Lord. That should be said more like this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And these words, what words? These words, the words that he speaks to you, which I command you this day, shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you liest down, and when you rise up. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God that we've got good teachers here to teach the Word of God to your children. Amen? Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. The responsibility still is yours. You are to teach your children. You are the closest connection to them. So you teach your children. You take what God is saying to you and turn it around and move it in and move it right into their lives. Amen? Come on, man. Because one of the things you're teaching is honor. You're teaching, you're honoring God. They're seeing you honor God when you listen to God. And when you go in to talk to them, they'll begin to honor you. You might say, well, you don't know my kids. Yeah, well, guess what? It will, because God is behind it. Amen? Anytime God is in it, you're going to win it. Amen? Come on, amen. Say, if he's in it, I'm going to win it. Hallelujah. You can say that. It's okay. Hallelujah. But some of us, I better not go there. I better be quiet on that. That might be another thought. Hallelujah. Teach them to honor you by lovingly guiding them by the teachings of God. In honoring you, they will learn to honor the God that you serve, because they will see it. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, I done it wrong. 62 years old, I said, man, God, can I start over? Never mind, God. Take that back. I don't want to start over. Amen? Hallelujah. I think we did okay. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Honor. The Hebrew word for honor is kabod, K-A-W-B-O-D-E. And it actually means weight, like something heavy, but in a good sense. It means something of splendor, glorious, and honor. That's the Hebrew word, kabod, for honor. Hallelujah. The Greek word is timeo, and it means a prize. Something with a value, with a high value placed upon. How you know that it's important that we place a high value on God? How many know that? How many of you actually place a high value on God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that God knows what your heart is saying? Amen. Do you know that? Hallelujah. But some of us, we want to be smooth with God. How many like smooth? Oh, well, you know, so we'll tell people, you know, I don't got to go to church, man. You know, I worship God in my house. Okay, that's cool. That's good. As long as you do worship God. I like to go out to the mountains and worship God. Okay, that's cool, man, as long as you're worshiping God. We want to be smooth. Well, I'm smooth. How many of you guys know that song? That song, Smooth, by Carlos Santana. Anybody know that song? No? There's some words in it that I realize. I say, man, maybe God's going to say, he says, give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it. Yeah. Come on, man. Make it real. Give him your heart and make it real. Make it real. Man. Hallelujah. Ooh, God's talking to somebody. Might be just me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me give you another scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. It's just a portion of the verse. This is what I want you to see. It says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. God is rebuking Israel at this time. The priests, he's rebuking the priests, actually. He says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. Do you see that? And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I'm going to tell you something. If you honor God, he's going to honor you. Is that right? Amen. It goes kind of like a full circle. You begin to honor God, and then he says, that's what I like. I'm going to honor them. I know I repeat a lot of stories, but a lot of times it's because they fit. They fit really well. Some of my testimony, some of the things going on, they fit. Yeah, I know you guys are probably saying, oh, here goes that story again. Oh, yeah, I heard it. He's going to say this right now. And then you'll say, you know, right? You guys do that. Yeah. Well, my wife does that, and I'm just kidding. Let me just say this to you, though. But there's a reason. How many know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? You got to hear and hear again. Sometimes you didn't hear it the first time, hear it again. Sometimes you didn't hear it the 10th time, hear it again. Amen? I don't have any problem doing that. I'll tell you stories over and over again if it gives the Lord a chance to say something deep within you. So you see, deep calls unto deep at the noise of their waterspouts. Right now, I'm a waterspout. I am making noise. How many know that? I'm making noise, man. And see, it's sprinkling water. Do you guys get it? It's sprinkling water. The waters of life is what it's called. I'm going to tell you, that's my vision. That's the vision that God had given me, and that's what he said was going to happen. I believe that's what's happening right now. The waters of life are being sprinkled all around this place, man. That's cool, huh? How many sensing any water falling into your heart? Anybody? Hallelujah. But I'll tell you a story about my daughter. In junior high, she was a little athlete. And man, she could run. And I mean, just the other day, she was telling me, "Hey, Dad, my name is up in the gym at Continental School, man, the junior high that she went to." I said, "Really? I didn't even know. I don't even know what it was for. What was it for, Ben? Track?" So I guess I'm gonna go check it out, okay? Because that's kind of an honor for me. Amen. I mean, we're talking about honor. And so she was a good little athlete in basketball. She was really good in because she played her brother. They were constantly out there playing basketball, always shooting. I was always the ball return guy. Is that right? They would shoot free throws, and I'd be out there just tossing the ball back to them. Being dad. Amen? Just tossing the ball back to them. I wasn't much of a basketball player, but these guys could play good. My daughter was good. She played good. Her coach in junior high told the coach in high school, "Hey, Rebecca's coming. She's a good player." Well, Rebecca got into high school, and then basketball season opened, and she started playing basketball. And I would stop every night after work and go pick her up. And I'd be out there waiting for her to come out, and she'd come out, and she didn't look very happy. She was on the freshman basketball team, and she didn't look very happy. And I go, "What's going on?" She goes, "Nothing, Dad." Okay. So after about a week of that... How many of you know, when your kid's not happy, you can tell? Am I right? Is that right? Yeah, I mean, you better be able to tell. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Well, she kept getting in the truck, and then I go, "What's going on?" She goes, "I don't think the coach likes me." And I said, "Hey, Mia, let me just say this to you. Everybody thinks that. He's just being coached. She's just being coached." And she goes, "No, this coach don't like me." "Well, just keep going, sweetie. Just kind of encourage her," because I knew she liked to play basketball. Well, one evening, they had given out their uniforms to the freshman basketball team. And she comes out, and she's crying. Her and another girl. And my daughter tells me, "You see, Dad? I told you she doesn't like me." I go, "Why? What's going on with you?" She goes, "Look at this shirt." It was a T-shirt with a number. I can't remember what number it was. But it looked like it had been washed and then dried. And you know, it was a plastic number or whatever. You know what? Does anybody know what happens to those numbers when you dry them? Throw them in the dryer. What? That number comes out all crinkled up, and it's the ugliest shirt you ever want to look at. It was ugly. It was horrible. And I said, "These are your team shirts?" And she goes, "Just for me and this other girl." So all the other girls got real nice little shirts, but I tell you, Dad, she don't like me. I said, "Honey, can't be that bad." So the next time she had basketball practice, I went in. And, you know, how many know Dad's going to take care of it? Amen? Yeah, wait, man, I'm going to go in and see what's going on in there, you know? What's going on with this lady? Sure enough, my daughter is off to the side, not playing, and all the other girls are playing, her and that other girl, and I'm watching. And I think they call it the spider, right? My daughter could take a basketball and just all the way around her legs. They call it, the spider. She could bounce that thing. And she was good. She could play basketball. She could hit from the outside. She could drive. She could do all those things. She was a good little basketball player. And I'm looking, and this lady is not using her. And I'm getting, hey, what's going on? So I go in there another time. They had a little scrimmage game. Sure enough, all these other girls are playing. Some of those girls, they get the ball, and they'd bounce it twice, and the ball would be rolling off somewhere, man. And I said, did it hit her leg? No, because they throw it to her again. And it was just, Dad was comparing. Is that okay? I was going, man, I don't know about this thing, man. Hey, play Rebecca. You know how that. But one night, my daughter came up, and she was just really upset. And I said, look, okay, I see. Apparently, she must not like you. So I told her, listen, if you want, you can quit, or you can trust God. You know, those could probably be the best words you could tell somebody. You can do this if you want. You can quit. You can walk away, or you can trust God. What do you want to do? I told my daughter that. She wasn't too happy about me telling her that. We went home. She went to her room. And about an hour and a half later, she came out of her room. She had a big smile on her face, and she said, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do for her whatever she wants me to do. So my daughter went in, told her, hey, can I take, since you're not playing me, can I take, what's it called? Stats, score. Can I take stats for the team? So the coach said, yeah, here you go. Take stats. So that's what my daughter was doing. My daughter, I can say it because I'm her dad, was probably the best player on the team. I'm just kidding. But she decided to listen to God. Came to be about Christmas. The holidays had come up. And in one of the freshman games, the varsity coach, who had known Rebecca, had heard about Rebecca playing, asked the coach, why aren't you playing Rebecca? And she goes, oh, she takes stats. That's what she does. So during the holiday games, a lot of the varsity girls had taken off to go on little vacations or whatever, you know, people do. So I get a call from the varsity coach, and she says, hey, Mr. Ayala, would it be okay if we played Rebecca with the varsity team during the holidays, because a lot of the girls are on vacation, and so we need some players. Can? Yeah, I got all. Oh, you betcha. Oh yeah. Covered the phone. Rebecca, get over here. She goes, what's going on? Hey, it's the coach, and she wants you to. Dad, they probably just need some extra help. She's just kind of. So I gave her the phone. She says, yeah, and everything. Well, she started playing. During the holidays on the basketball team for the varsity. Praise God. Probably, I don't know how many games she went, but school has started back again after Christmas and in the new year and everything. School's back on. The kids had gone to school. And I come home from work one night. And my wife told me. She said, hey, Rebecca's been waiting for you. She's in her room. I said, okay. So I go into her room, and she goes, Dad. She goes, check this out. She goes, do you remember this? And she pulls out that T-shirt. It was all, the numbers are all wrinkled. I go, yeah, what's going on with that, man? She goes, well, check this out. And she pulls out this huge duffel bag, poof, sets it on her bed, and starts pulling out all these warm-up suits and everything. She goes, I'm on the varsity basketball team. I said, you're kidding me, man. And I saw a perfect example how honoring God will honor you. He will honor you if you'll honor him. He loves you. Now, my daughter was a 4-year varsity basketball player. And in that, it's kind of honoring Dad. It goes in, sir, it just happens that way. Honor one another. When you begin to honor folks, you're going to find that God begins to honor you. He'll honor you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But you can't fool God. 2 Chronicles 16:9, this is what it says. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. I want you to just that part. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect. How's your heart toward God? Are you trying to just kind of push God off? Or are you seriously listening, trying to listen to what he has to say to you? That's what he told them when he was rebuking Israel, and he used the Rechabites to say, hey, look, these people have listened to their father for 200 years, and I rise daily. I rise up early in the morning to speak to you, and you will not listen to me. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God says, honor me by listening to me? Honor me by hearing what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when I'm preaching up here, a lot of times these aren't even my thoughts. These are words, God's words coming through. Honor him in listening. Honor him in paying attention. Honor him by maybe midweek going in and listening to the sermon again. I'm going to make it kind of a requirement for some of the leadership around here, because I believe it's not me speaking, it's God speaking. This is what God is speaking to the house. Do you understand that? And the house needs to hear what God is saying. Honor him. Not honor me. You don't have to honor me. I'm not saying, hey, oh, I'm the best preacher in the world. You got to listen to what I got to say, because, you know, I know what it's all about. It's not that way. I don't know that at all. I am nothing more than a mouthpiece for God. Nothing more than a voice that's saying, honor the Lord thy God. Listen to him. Go after him. Seek after him. And when you find him, it's so profitable for you. It's so profitable for you. Jeremiah 35:15 says this. Woo, hallelujah. Jeremiah 35:15 says this. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them. Today, make a decision. You know what, God? If you rise early, I'm going to start rising earlier. You know, it doesn't hurt you to get up early in the morning to go after God. Amen? Begin your day listening to what he's got to say. I send my prophets rising early and sending them, saying, return now every man from his evil way and amend your doings. Go not after the gods, other gods to serve them, and you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But you've not inclined your ear nor hearkened to me. Hallelujah. Honoring God by listening. How many of you know the whole word of God is good? Every bit of the word of God is good. We pick and choose. I like this part. I like this part. I like this part. I like that part. We like to pick and choose what we want to hear. But what is it that God wants you to hear? Begin to look at God's word in a different way and say, God, what you want to say to me, that's what I want to hear. Well, God, don't say that to me right now. Do you know that there's a place in the scriptures where it says that the people were saying to the prophets, don't prophesy to us. Don't tell us what God is saying. Prophesy easy things to us, smooth things. Know this. God is saying it's time. It is time. Listen to what he's saying. Go hard after God, and you'll find it very profitable to you, because he loves you. And he's going to do things with you that you've got no idea about right now. He's going to take you there. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you will you all stand? Hallelujah. Honor God. And he will honor you. Hallelujah. You serve a great and mighty God, folks. Do you know that? He's great. And he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. He's worthy to receive honor from you. And one of the things about the honor is get into his presence. Take this book and find out what God is saying to you. Amen? I'm going to say it again. Independently dependent on God. You and you alone are responsible for what goes inside of you. It's just the way it is. Your soul is in your hand. Hallelujah. So rejoice. Be glad. Hallelujah. For God, He's on your side. How many know that? How many know that God's for you? Is that right? He's not against you. He's for you. Hallelujah. You're going to go home and you're going to pull out this big duffel bag. Boom. Robes of righteousness. Ooh, come on. Talk to me. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has said, the Lord says, I am a king and a priest. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about, folks. It's about what God is saying about you and to you, about you going after it, you paying attention to what God is saying to you. It's the best thing for you. How many say amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning. I thank you for what you're doing in their lives, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that your care for us exceeds anything that we know about. That your care, God, your care for us is even more than our moms and our dads. You have loved us and cared for us. We will not turn our ear away from you, Father, but we will draw closer to you, Father. We will, Father God, bow down our ear and hear your words, Father. Because we know, Father, we know that you are for us and not against us. So we thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who gave himself for us. And Lord, I ask that you would just bless my brothers and sisters as they go out. Father, help them to speak to somebody this week that is in desperate need. Put somebody into their lives, Father God, in their path, Father God, that needs to know you. And Lord, flow through them and allow them to feel the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords flowing through them to help someone. I thank you for it, God. I praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray this morning. If you agree, say amen.